Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our sugya, we find ourselves in the middle of a long discussion. Fortunately, it's broken down into numerous subunits, as was illustrated by our markings that we discussed at length in our previous shiur. Just for a brief recap, we're dealing with different methods that the oral law, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, operates in deriving new information. There are four major categories. We've listed them on the side of our Gemara, and we discussed these points in our last shiur, but to briefly go over them, we've listed them off on the outside margin with Roman numerals. You can see 1, Hekish, 2, Gezerah Shavah, 3, Kavachomer, and 4, Binyan Av. Each one of these methods of deriving new information in this sugya will be combined with itself and the three others in establishing, can things be determined in a two-stage process? Namely, if I have information that I derived through a hekish, can that information turn around and teach me to something new through one of the other methods? Picking up the sugya or the Gemara at the very bottom of Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, the Gemara asks, Dover halomeid behekish, chozer umalameid bekal vachomer. If we have point B derived from point A through a hekish, point B can turn around and teach me concerning point C through a kavachomer. Now that is established, that was learned in the previous perek, Midatona debei Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi here gives a very brief recap of it, but for our purposes, let us just establish or say or state as a fact that Dover Halomid Behekish, that if B is learned from A through the Hekish method, B can turn around and teach me concerning C through a Kavachomer. And that's what we are referring to here as was determined through the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Dover Halomid Behekish, Mahu Sheyumad Bebinyan Av. This is the fourth example under the heading of Dover Halomi Behekish. Before we go further, just to recap the structure before we even answer this particular question, you'll notice at the bottom of Mem Tesamut Beis, we had a Roman numeral number 1 and a little triangle in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. Under that Roman numeral number 1, we had an Aleph with a double underline, followed by a Beis at the bottom line with which we opened today's shiur, a Gimel, and right now we're about to start Dalet. In other words, Dover Halomi Behekish, with B is derived from A through a Hekish, can B turn around and teach me concerning C through one of these methods, Hekish itself and the three others. And that was what was illustrated by each one of these letters. We're now at the fourth question. Something that was, where B was established from A through a Hekish method, can I now use the Binyan Av method to teach from B to point C? Omar Rebbe Yirmiya, Loi lichtoiv tzvoina ba'osham v'teisi mi Binyan Av mechatos. The Torah could have, in theory, could have skipped writing or making a reference to the need of processing a korban osham in the northern half of the Azorah and left me on my own to determine that through a comparison of osham to a chatos. Now, the Torah actually does write Tzafon by Osham, and that's referred to very possibly in the Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Beis, from which I learn Osham needs the Tzafon. Even though in that particular Pasuk the word Tzafon doesn't appear explicitly, suffice it to say though that we have a special Pasuk by Osham that indicates the need for Tzafon. The Torah didn't have to write that Pasuk. It could have left me to determine it through a Binyan Av, a comparison of the Osham to the Chatos. Lamai Hilchaso Kasvei. Before we go further, we have to just make note of what we have written in between the lines, and that is that the need of Tzafon by the Chatos itself is learned from a Hekish to Ola. If you notice, we have a little diagram on the outside margin entitled Tzafon Boshem, where there's a little star that's encircled. The Ola teaches me to Chatos. Ola is a korban in which the Torah writes it must be processed in the Tzafon. So Tzafon is explicit by the Ola. Through a Hekish, through a written, a scriptural comparison, a proximity writing, whereby Chatos is written in proximity to Ola, which entitles us to label that a Hekish. The Chatos is Hukash, is compared to the Ola through the Hekish method. So we know Tzafon by Chatos as well. And our issue right now is, can I go from the Chatos to the Osham through a Binyan Av method, through a logical comparison? If I could, then I would not have to write any special psukim concerning the Osham. The Gemara continues, Lamai Hilchaso Kasve, why does the Torah bother writing the need for Tzafon by Osham? Lav Lameimra, is this not in fact telling me the Dover HaLomeid Behekish, the need of Tzafon by Chatos is something that was learned through a Hekish, from it being Hukash to Ola. Ein Choser Umalameid Bebinyan Av, the Chatos cannot turn around and teach me concerning the Osham. Just using our notation before, we use the lettering A teaching me B, and B then teaching me C. So B, which was a reference in this particular example to the Chatos, was learned from A, the Ola. And we were investigating whether the information derived by the Chatos, the B point, can it turn around and teach me to C, the Osham? In this case, can B, the Chatos, teach me to see the Osham through the Binyan Av method? If it could have, then the Torah would not have had to write a Pasuk by Osham. Let's just read the last line of the Gemara again. Lav Lameimra, is this not in fact telling me the Dover HaLomeid Behekish in Choser Umalameid BeBinyan Av? And I could not rely on the Binyan Av, on my logical comparison of Osham to Chatos, and therefore the Torah had to write a Pasuk by the Osham and its need for Tzafon. The Gemara asks, Uletameich, Tesi MiBinyan Av MeOla. Why is it that the Osham could not have been learned in a one-step method from Ola? Just like Ola requires Tzafon, I would use the Binyan Av method. Namely, I would compare them on the grounds that, just like the Ola is a Koche Kochim and it needs Tzafon, the Osham is also a high-level sanctity korban, a Koche Kochim, and it too would need Tzafon. And if I would have done that, then I would not have entered this entire sugya of what we call Lomeid Min HaLomeid, the idea of B derived from A, then turning around and teaching me to see. I would have simply had Osham compared directly to the source, namely to Ola, which is the source of Tzafon. My time, Olo Osi, why is it, in fact, that was never suggested, that Osham's need for Tzafon was not determined directly from the Ola? The answer is Mishum Diko LeMifrach, because I could have challenged, I could have undone that comparison as follows. Ma Lo Oilo Shekein Kolil. How can you learn Osham, which is something that's eaten by the Kohanim, from the case of Ola, which is completely burnt? Something that's completely burnt, maybe that requires Tzafon. And I wouldn't be able to say the same thing about the Osham. Well, on those grounds, Chatos Nami Iko LeMifrach. I, in fact, don't even have a Binyan Av in the first place with which to determine Osham from Chatos, because if I were to try to do that, to determine the osham from the chatos, I would have challenged that as follows: Ma lechatos shekein mechaperes al chayvei krisus. How can you learn the need for osham, the need for tzafon by osham, from the case of chatos? Chatos is a, we'll say, for lack of better expression, a more significant type sacrifice in that it has the atonement capacity to atone for serious offenses, those kind of offenses that were chayav the kores punishment, which is not the case by osham. Therefore, our entire question of Dover Halomid Behekesh Mal Shilam Bevinyanav cannot be learned from the fact that the Torah wrote a special posuk by the osham. Because even if an item, point B, learned from point A through Hekesh, could teach me through a binyanav to point C, that would not be the case over here by the osham, because the binyanav stage determining osham from chatos was itself faulty. So, at this point in the Gemara, we're going to just leave this issue without a direct response. You'll notice that we now have a bracketed section. The note on the inside margin where the star is indicated explains, Sograyim Elu, these brackets, Einom L'shem Dilug, they're not for the purpose of skipping, which is the standard role of brackets. Elo de tochanam havi milsabapi nafsha. Rather, the content of the bracketed section is something in and of itself. It's not a continuation of the Gemara just before. Uchrisa b'Rashi di bramaso mechado lo asio, as Rashi himself explains in his commentary, whereby he says that this is a milsabapi nafsha, and it's not coming to answer our question. So, structurally, the issue of Dover Halome Behekish, Chozer Umulamid Binyan Av, that remains a possibility, being that the attempt to disprove its possibility from the case of Osham, that attempt to disprove it failed. Turning to the bracketed section, by the way, after the brackets, you'll see that the Gemara picks up with, after having finished the discussion concerning Hekesh in our notation of A teaching me to B and B teaching me to C, we finish the discussion where Hekesh occupied position A, where from A to B, I was learning through a Hekesh. Namely, I was learning B from A through a Hekesh. We finished that discussion. And after the bracketed section, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, where the A to B process will be through Gzeirah Shavah. So that when you look at the markings, Roman numeral number 2, which is found to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, under that you'll see a little Aleph, and then a Beis, and then when you turn the page, you get to Omid Beis, 3 lines from the top, you'll notice a Gimel, and then further down, a Dalet. Once again, we'll be starting with Roman number 2, we'll be discussing the issue of the Gzeirah Shavah occupying position A, where I'm going from A to B through Gzeirah Shavah, and then, when I'm trying to determine information concerning C from B, I'll have to check out all the methods using Gezerah Shava as the starting point. Namely, we'll do it again. We'll see Gezerah Shava, and then Hekesh, Gezerah Shava, and then Gezerah Shava, and then Kavahomer, and Gezerah Shava, then Binyan Av. Before we get to that, let's do the bracketed section. We're dealing with the issue of the requirement of tzafon by a korban osham, ola, and chatos. In an attempt to compare one to the other, we found that we were not successful. In other words, if the Torah would write the need for tzafon by just one of the korbanos, I wouldn't be able to establish, through a logical comparison, a second korban to it. Chado mechado lo asya. One learned from one is not derivable. Tesi mitarti. Let the Torah write two of these, and then determine the third from it. So mehe tesi. From which one, or which one will be the one determined from the two? So the Gemara goes through several possibilities, and we've indicated them with our numberings here. You'll see lo nichtav rachmona ola, and then a number two, lo nichtav rachmona b'chatos, and then it'll say lo nichtav b'asham. The Gemara, lo nichtav rachmona ola, let the Torah not write tzafon by ola, v'teisi mechatos v'asham, and let me determine the need for tzafon by ola from having established tzafon by chatos and asham. The Gemara says, no, that would not be successful. Ma lahanoch, how can you learn ola from chatos and asham? Shekein mechaprin. Chatos and asham have an atonement capacity to them. So being that they have that feature, it may be that that's the reason that they require tzafon, and which is not the case by the ola, which is not designed primarily as a korban of atonement. Number two, lo nichtav rachmona b'chatos. Let the Torah remain silent with regard to chatos and its need for tzafon v'teisi mehanoch. And let me learn it from a combination of osham and ola. The Gemara rejects that as well. Ma lahanoch, I would not have been able to learn chatos from osham and ola, shekein zichorim. The nature of osham and ola, they are both restricted to being, they are male animals. And since they are male, their gender is one of a male nature, it might be that that's what's responsible for them requiring tzafon. Lo nichtov ba'osham, v'teisi mehanoch. Let the Torah have remained silent with regard to the need of tzafon by osham, and let us determine osham from ola and chatos. The Gemara rejects that too. Ma lahanoch shekein yeshno b'tzibur kaviyachid. The ola and chatos are sacrifices that appear on a private level and a public level, which is not the case by a korban osham. And osham is exclusively a private type sacrifice. There is no precedent of a public osham. As a result of this, one sees why there is a need for the Torah to make a scriptural reference to tzafon by each one of these sacrifices. Going back to the general sugya, Dovar Halome Begzera Shava, Mahu Shiyilmad Behekish. Something that where you have B derived from A through a Gezera Shava, through a word comparison, can B turn around and teach me concerning C through a hekish. Omar Rav Papa. We've circled Rav Papa's name because when we get to Omid Beis, there will be a need to refer back to Rav Papa numerous times. So Rav Papa says, in responding to this issue, the topic that Rav Papa will be citing as an example of this phenomenon of something learned from Gezeirah Shavah, then turning around and teaching me through Hekesh, concerns the issue of a Korban Todah. It can be brought from Meiser Sheni. In other words, if someone tithed his produce and redeemed the produce, redeem the tithe onto money, brings the money to Yerushalayim, as is the rule concerning Meiser Sheni, he can use the money, the Meiser Sheni money that he has, to buy a Korban Todah. Now that idea is learned from a Hekish to Shlomim. And that a Shlomim can be brought from Meiser Sheni funds is learned from a Gezerah Shavah. So, if we consider this, we have the following setup. Meiser Sheni is compared, is learned, or teaches to Shlomim that a Shlomim Korban can be purchased from Maaser Sheni money through Gzeirah Shavah. What about a Korban Todah? So we say that a Korban Todah is compared through a Hekesh to Shlomim. That would be a case of something learned from a Gzeirah Shavah, namely the Shlomim, which is learned through a Gzeirah Shavah, teaches me to a Todah through a Hekesh. Turning to the Gemara, Amrav Papa, V'zois Teras Zevach HaShlomim, Im Al Todah. In this Pasuk, you see, we've dashed underlined Shlomim and Todah. That represents a Hekesh in the Pasuk. The two sacrifices are referred to in proximity of one another. Lo Madnu L'Todah Sheba Min HaMaiser. From this, we establish that a Korban Todah can be purchased with Maiser Sheni funds. Mida Ashkechon Shlomim Ta'asu MiMaiser. By the fact that we find a Shlomim can come from Maiser funds. Shlomim Gufayu Minolon, the Korban Shlomim itself, from where do we know that it can come from Maiser Sheni funds? Answer, Dichtiv. There's a Gzeirah Shavah, Shom, Shom. We have a little star that directs you to the inside margin where we've illustrated with a little scheme what we have just done. We've mentioned that Lomadnu, Todah ba min ha-maiser. The first stage was a Gzeirah Shavah from Maiser to Shlomim. And then once we've established that Shlomim is purchased through Maiser Sheni funds, there's a Hekesh from Shlomim to Todah. Omar Lei Mar Zutra Brei de Rav Mori Le Ravina. Mar Zutra raises a question on the approach just taken by Rav Papa. Maiser Dogon, Maiser from grains, the Maiser Sheni tithe that we've been referring to till now as the source or the beginning point of the Gezerah Shavah, the first point in the chain of Limudim that we're discussing right now, Chulin Be'almahu. It's mundane, it's not Hekdish. Our Sugya is dealing with Lomeid Min HaLomeid, where B is determined or learned from A and then turns around to teach me concerning C in the realm of Kochim. When you're in the realm of Kochim, we know there are certain restrictions. The question is this also restricted? Dover HaLomeid B'Gzeirah Shavah Ma'al Shilamid B'Hekish. And in order to prove that issue, Rav Papa seeks a proof from the realm of Chulin, that doesn't help us at all in what we are trying to determine. So, as far as Mar Zutra is concerned, the example of the teaching from Maiser to Shlomim and Shlomim to Todah is not effective because the Melamed, the original source of the chain of ideas, is not in the realm of Kochim. Omar Lei. So Ravina responds, Omar, Omro, Lomei Kodesh, Umalamei Kodesh. Is it necessary that everything has to be Kodesh in order, and that all of the elements have to be in the realm of Kachim in order for us to determine the issue? It's sufficient that even if the Malamed, the original source, is not Kochim, but the Lomed, the first derived piece of information, is Kochim, that should be sufficient. Let us look at the Rashi and preface the Rashi by pointing out that we're about to see a source of, we'll call it the source of that which is known as a very big machlokis, Boser Lomeid Azlinon or Boser Melamed Azlinon. Taking a look at Rashi, Omar, Omra, Omar Ho'oimer Lomeid Kodesh and Melamed Kodesh Bitmiha, that do both of the elements, the product as well as the original source, have to be in the realm of Kochim? V'chi Shnehem Tzrichim Shiu Kochim, do both of the elements, element A and element B, have to be Kochim in order to answer the issue of Lomeid Min HaLomeid? Hoyel V'Lomeid Kodesh, since the first derived piece of information is in the realm of of kochim, of sacrifices, kagoin shlomim, and in our case, shlomim was determined from meiser. Shlomim is the lomate, is the product. Shapir mifshat bayon, we effectively answer the original question. And how is that? The bosor lomate aslinon, because in order to determine if we're in the realm of kochim, we focus on the lomate, on the product. Umazutra, so our mazutra was the one that raised the question. He holds Bosur Malamed Nami Azlinon, that you have to take into account the original teaching factor as well. Vahainu Diamrina Ba'almo, and it's based on this give and take. In other words, Marzutra on the one hand and Rav Pop on the other. The Gemara says in many places, Ho Nicho Lamandomer Bosur Lomed Azlinon, that this is a quote from what you find in many places, that things work out well according to the opinion that says you follow the lomed, the product. But according to the opinion that says that you follow the malamed, well, then this would not answer our question. This discussion that we just had will be cited a few times on Omid Beis. Continuing in the Gemara, Dovar Halomed Begzera Shava, once again, we're under the heading of Roman numeral number 2, so the starting point is Gezera Shava. Mahu Shilamed Begzera Shava. Can B, that's learned from A through Gezera Shava, turn around and teach me to C also through a Gezera Shava? Omar Romi Barchamo. Notice we have Romi Barchamo in a house form, and a little bit later, Rova will appear in a house form. At the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. The topic and structural note are combined into one, where we have a house marking. Makoros, the Dover, Halomid Migzera Shava, Choser Malamid Migzera Shava. We will try to show you sources that something that's that B that's determined from A through Migzera Shava can turn around and teach me to C also through Migzera Shava. The first source, this is the source Romi Bar Chama will bring in, is Me Chalois Toida, from the issue of the loaves of a Korban Toda. The Korban Toda is made up of four different kinds of loaves. Each kind has 10 individual loaves as part of it. In other words, a Korban Toda is a sacrifice that has, as part of it, 40 loaves. Four kinds, 10, and under each kind, 10 types. Minayin derekikin shel toida boing misolas. The issue here will be, from where do we know that the rekikin type loaf of the Korban Toda, which is one of the four kinds of loaves, from where do we know that the rekikin kind comes from the solas kind of flour? When we talk about flour, there are two kinds. There's something called kemach and something called solas. So our question is, or the issue that will be dealt with is, from where do we know that rekikin comes as solas? We will see very shortly, and we can actually take advantage of a little chart that we have in the inside margin, just to introduce the scheme of things. You'll see there's a little double asterisk with a little heading here that minayin deboim solas. So the type of loaf that's called revucha, that we know is solas. There is a gezeirah shava that runs between revucha and the other kind of loaf called chalos through a gezeirah shava of the word chalos. The word chalos appears by revucha and by chalos. And therefore, chalos, I know, comes from soles. And then, between the term chalos, the type of loaf called chalos, and rekikin, there is another gezeirah shava word, matzois. So if I can establish that, if I've established that chalos comes from soles, that it's brought with soles quality flour, I will then be able to go from the chalos to rekikin and establish that they too will be, the rekikin as well will come from soles through a second gezeira shava. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Romi Bar Chamo, Tanya. Romi Bar Chamo brings a Tanaic source to answer the question of something that's learned from a Gezeirah Shava, can it turn around and teach me concerning something else through a Gezeirah Shava? So the Pasuk says, Soiles Murveches, Lo Matnu, from this Pasuk we learn, L'Revucha Shebo Solas, that the Revucha type loaf, this actually is a kind of loaf that's, it's a baked good that's first boiled in water and then baked. The it comes from Solas as opposed to Kemach. chalos shebato dominayin, the chalos type loaf. From where do we know that it comes from? Solas, Talmud Lomar, chalos chalos. There's a gezerah shava that runs, or that appears between revucha and chalos. The word chalos itself appears in both cases, establishing that the chalos type loaf comes from solas. Rikikin minayin, from where do we know that rikikin, the rikikin type loaf, comes from solas? Talmud Lomar, matzois matzois. There is a gezerah shava, common word, the word matzos, that you find by chalos and by rikikin. Omalei ravina, mimai de matzos matzos mechalois gomar. From where do you know, or how are you so sure, that the gezerah shava word, namely the matzos, that's our key word for the second gezerah shava between rikikin and chalos. Who says that's where rikikin is learned from? Dilma mimai fetanur gomar. Maybe rikikin, that it should be from soles, is learned from a different kind of meal offering known as the maifetanur offering. The maifetanur, that has the word soles written by it. So that rikikin is determined from the maifetanur in a one-stage limud. In other words, rikikin is learned from maifetanur. Maifetanur has the word soles written in, as opposed to what we were doing just before, trying to learn rikikin from chalos. Chalos did not have the word soles written by it. Chalos was established to be soles only by virtue of the fact that it was compared through gezeirah shava to revucha. So that the existence of soles as being the type of flour for rikikin and being proof for dovar lomi gezeirah shava, chosim lomi gezeirah shava, would not be proven. Elo omar rova. Tanya. Rava presents a second source for this, and his issue, or the source that he will be citing, has to do with the par v'soyer shiyom kippur benituach b'li hefshet, that the cow and goat offering of Yom Kippur were burnt not as entire carcasses when they were burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash, as is the halach with regard to these kind of korbanos. Rather, they were burnt by first dismembering the animal into limbs, and as limbs they were burnt. But it's important to note that these animals, these Purim HaNisrofim, Sirin HaSrofim that we're talking about right now, the Par V'Sor Shiyom Kippur, they were not skinned. They were dismembered, not skinned. In this sense, they're different from a standard korban ola, which is a korban that's also burnt completely, but it's burnt after it has been skinned. We have a little chart to illustrate the structure of this limud, and you can see this on the inside margin. We have the following setup. An olas tzon, a standard korban ola, experiences it being dismembered, and it will teach me olas tzon will teach me to the par koyin moshiach. This is a special korban that the koyin gadol brings in the event that he erred in his legal ruling. The par koyin moshiach is an example of one of the Purim HaNisrofim, which is a type of korban that is burnt outside of the Beis HaMikdash. None of it is eaten. So the fact that a par koyin moshiach is dismembered is learned from the olas tzon. The par koyin moshiach in turn will teach me to the par yom kippur. All of this will be by the fact that between the Olas Tzon and the Par Koyin Moshiach there is a Gezerah Shava, and between the Par Koyin Moshiach and the Par Yom Kippurim there is also a Gezerah Shava. And at that point we will be able to say that since the Par Yom Kippur is burnt by being dismembered, that shows us that a dover halomig b'gzeirah shava, namely the par koyin moshiach, which was learned through gzeirah shava, holzer malamed, it can turn around and teach me to the par yom kippur, to establish that it too, the par yom kippur, is dismembered. Elo Amar Rava, turning back to the Gemara, we see Rava in a house form, number 2. Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, opening with a pasuk that's found by the Par Kohen Moshiach. It says there, V'kirbo u'pirshoi v'hotzi. Malame, this teaches me, Shemotzio Shalem, that it's taken out of the Beis HaMikdash as a whole carcass. Yochol Yisrofenu Shalem, could it be that when it's burnt on its pyre, that is burnt as an entire carcass? The answer to that is no. Ne'amar kan Rosho Krov, it says in the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach, the words Rosho Krov, Ne'amar lahalon, and it says in the context of the Oilas Tzon, an Ola coming from Tzon animals, Rosho Ukrov, Ma lahalon al yedei nituach, just like by the Ola, it's through being dismembered, cut up into limbs, Afkan by the Par Kohen Moshiach, when it is to be burnt, al yedei nituach, it too is dismembered. If you're learning from the Olas Tzon, which we know was skinned, is the Par Kohen Moshiach also skinned? Talmud Lomar v'kirbo u'pirsho. The Braisa tells me no, the Par Kohen Moshiach is not skinned. My Talmuda, how do you know from this that it's not skinned, from the expression v'kirbo u'pirsho? Om Rav Papa answers, k'shem shepirsho v'kirboi, kach besoro ba'oro, just like the perish. The perish is the animal waste. The animal waste is not taken out. It's left within it. It's left contained within the creature. So just like the waste is contained within it, so too the bosor, the flesh of the animal, is contained within its skin. V'tanya, and now we go to the second stage of the limud. Rebbe Omer, the second stage, meaning the stage between from the Par Kohen Moshiach to the Par Yom Kippur. The way that the Par Yom Kippur is burnt is also through nituach, by being dismembered. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Nemar Kan or Ubasur Perish, it says in the, with regard to the Par of Yom Kippur, these expressions. The Nemar Lahalon, it says by the Par Kohen Moshiach or Ubasur Perish. Ma lahalon, just like by the Par Kohen Moshiach al yedei nituach, it is treated or it is burnt through this being dismembered, which we already established from the Oilas Tzayin. It's ma lahalon al yedei nituach shaloi behefshit. It's dismembered, albeit not through skinning, but it's dismembered. Afkan, with regard to the Yom Kippur animal, al yedei nituach shaloi behefshit, through being dismembered, even though it's not skinned. So we have our little chart. Once again, we've included the chart on the inside margin for your convenience. The Olas Tzon, through a Gezera Shava, teaches me concerning the Par Kohen Moshiach. And the Par Kohen Moshiach, through a Gezera Shava, teaches me to the Par Yom Kippur that it is also, it's dismembered, even though it's without Hefshit. Before we go further in our Gemara, since we've turned the page, in order to alleviate the problem or the difficulty that many of us encounter in learning, which involves flipping pages back and forth and thereby causing sometimes a bit of confusion for those of us whose memory powers are somewhat limited, we've included a lot of information in the upper corner of our daf here, which is culled from that which we've learned already on from the Gemaras on from Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis and Nun Amud Aleph. So if you look at our little call it a little note or chart on the side in the upper corner of the page, you'll notice the expression hekish to hekish. That means something learned from a hekish. We're using shorthand over here, just because we've already dealt with these sugyas at length. Something where B is learned from A through a hekish. The issue was, can B turn and teach me concerning C through a hekish? So the answer to that was lo. So we've written hekish, hekish, lo. And that was from Ravina or Rova on Mem Tes Amud Beis. So that we already know those names, for those of you who do like to flip back pages, those names appeared in diamonds on Mem Tes Amud Beis, and it was determined that hekish, hekish does not work through either Ravina or Rava. The issue then we also saw earlier was hekish to Gezerah Shava. That also does not work. We say low, And we've written in shorthand, Mida Reb Yochanan. And that had to do with the issue of writing Tzafon by Osham, that if Hekesh Gezeira Shava would work, then the Torah would not have had to written Tzafon by Osham. That was also a point that was seen on Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. Rav Yochanan's name was circled, and it was over there that this was established, that Dover HaLomeid BeHekish is not Chozer Umalameid BeGezeira Shava. And that, as we said, that's what we're referring to here in shorthand as Mida Rav Yochanan. The issue of Hekish, something learned from a Hekish, can it teach me, B, that was learned from A through Hekish, teach me concerning C through a Kavachomer? This we said, Lomdim, it does work. Midetono Debei Rabbi Yishmoel. That was a point that was mentioned at the very top of Nun Omed Aleph. Another point that we had mentioned was Gezeira Shava, something learned from a Gezeira Shava. Can it then teach me through a Hekish to something else? So we said, according to Rav Papa, Lomdim, because Rav Papa is Ozil Bosur Lomeid. He follows, he establishes that he establishes that we're in the realm of Kachim, and hence we can do it by the fact that the Lomeid itself was Kachim. And that had to do with the, just to quickly review, that was the case of Meiser Sheni, where we had a Gzeira Shava between Meiser Sheni and Shlomim, and then we're going to use a Hekish to teach me from the Shlomim, which is the Lomeid. It was Lomeid from Meiser Sheni, which is Chulin, and from the Shlomim, which is the Lomeid, it would teach me to the Korban Toda, that it too can be purchased from Meiser Sheni funds. So the issue of Gzeira Shava to Hekish works according to Rav Papa simply because we follow the Lomeid. However, if you disagree with that, if you hold that you have to focus on the Malamed as well, then we won't be able to determine from that case that Gezeira Shava can turn around and teach me to Hekish. Then there was an issue of something learned from a Gezeira Shava, can it teach me concerning something else through an additional Gezeira Shava? So the Gemara said, we do that, we will accept that, Lomdim. You have two sources for that, Romi Bar Chama, who dealt with the issue of Solas by Rikikin. It was a little bit of a question that was raised, maybe Rikikin has learned from Maifet Tanur as opposed to from the Chalos, and then that proof would fall away. So we have Rava that spoke about the Par Yom HaKippurim being burnt through Nituach, which would have been a case of also something learned from a Gezeira Shava, where the Par Yom Kippur was learned from the Par Koyin Moshiach, and the Par Koyin Moshiach itself was learned from a Gezeira Shava back to from the Olas Tzon. So, as you see, we've featured these different issues. Hekish Hekish, Hekish Gezeira Shava, Hekish Kal V'Chomer, Gezeira Shava Hekish, Gezeira Shava, Gezeira Shava. And with this note, as we go on in the Gemara, hopefully you won't have to turn back to see each time what the source of the different things was. As we go on, it's also, by word of introduction, we're going to be dealing with a great deal of what I refer to as notation in order to determine the most of the questions that will be raised in the oncoming Gemara. Without any further ado, we're now at point Gimel under Roman numeral number 2. Roman numeral number 2 was characterized by the first stage, a Gezeira Shava. So we continue now with the third question under that second category. Dover halomei b'gezeira shava, ma'u shilamei b'kal v'chomer. Something that's learned from a Gezeira Shava, where B is learned from A through a Gezeira Shava, can it turn around and teach me concerning C through the use of a Kal V'Chomer? So the Gemara answers, before we go on, we have some new geometric forms. We see a diamond used, and in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, the diamond is focusing on this section. This Yoinois LaHashiv LaSheila attempts to respond to the question. Dovar Lomi Begzerushava Mahush Yilmad BeKavachomer. So we'll have the first attempt under this diamond to first attempt to answer the question, and then a second diamond, which will represent our second attempt to answer this question. So the Gemara continues. Kal v'chomer will answer this issue of Dovar Lomi B'Gezereshova. Can it turn around the teaching through a kal v'chomer? We will answer this through a kal v'chomer. Uma hekish she'eno malamed behekish. That's the case of hekish hekish. Now, how do I know that hekish hekish does not work? E midarava, e midaravina. They were cited on Mem Tesamid Beis. So in that case, we know it doesn't work. And yet, melameid b'kavachomer, midatana debe Rabbi Shmuel. Hekish kavachomer does work, as was proven in the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, which was a point mentioned in the previous perek. Gezeira shava hamalamedes behekish. That's a case of gezeira shava hekish. Me the Rav Papa. That was from Rav Papa's issue, where the halach of toda can be brought from Meiser Sheni funds. So Gezeira Shava Hekish does work, as we proved from Rav Papa. Eino din shetalamed b'kal v'chomer, and all the more so, it should be able to work in the case of a kal v'chomer, namely Gezeira Shava kal v'chomer. We've attempted to illustrate this through a chart form to see how this operated. If you glance on your inside margin, you'll notice we have a little a diamond around a number 1. That corresponds with this point in the Gemara. We've also entitled this little note, Gezeira Shava Kavachomer Mahu, where B is learned from A through Gezeira Shava. Can B turn around and teach me concerning C through a kal v'chomer? So our notation appears. We see that a hekish hekish does not work, where the second stage from point B to C was a hekish following an opening of hekish. That did not work. When you put the hekish in the first position, where hekish is in the first position, it can turn around and it can be the, let's say, the starting point for an attempt to learn from hekish to kal v'chomer. That does work. So in the opening scene here, the opening stage where hekish was in the second position, it didn't work. But you place hekish in the first position, it does work. In a situation where Hekish is in a second position and it does work, that's where Hekish follows a Gezeira Shava, then we can say certainly when you have a Gezeira Shava in the first position and a Kal v'chomer in the second position, it will certainly work. This was seen in the previous stage, at stage 2, where the kal v'chomer was in the second position. The Gemara, though, is not completely satisfied with this. This approach will work when, if you accept Rav Papa, that you follow the Lomeid. Namely, you establish that we're dealing with a realm of Kochim by focusing on the Lomeid. And in that case, the Lomeid was a Shlomim. Elo Laman de Lesle de Rav Papa, Mayikol Amemar. But if you don't hold from Rav Papa, we saw Marzutra, for example, he said you have to look at the Malameid. And the Malameid in that case was Meiser, which is considered Chulin and outside of the realm of our entire discussion. So what about the issue of Lomeid bin HaLomeid when you have a Gzera Shava then turning around to teach me through Kal V'chomer. Elo, so we have a new approach. Kal V'chomer. Uma Hekish, She'ein Malami Behekish. And by the way, to make things a little easy, the first two stages of this second attempt are the same as we saw before. And we have our little chart on the inside margin also that accompanies this Gemara. So we see that we can continue reading in the Gemara where Hekish is not Malami Behekish, I Midarovo, I Midaravina, as was already proven on Mem Tes Omid Beis. Melame b'kal v'chomer, though if you have a hekish kal v'chomer setup, that does work. Midatona be'er Shmuel. Gezeira shava hamalamedes b'hekish. Gezeira shava chaverta. Midarami bar chamo. If you have a gezeira shava situation, which as opposed to the hekish-hekish situation, which did not work, a gzera shava, where their both sides are the same, just like in the hekish-hekish case, but the hekish-hekish, we said, doesn't work. Gzera shava, we say, does work, as was proven by in the example of Romi Bar Chamo, and that was the case of the Solas in Rekikin. So, Eino Din Shitalame B'Kal V'Chomer, then certainly it shall be able to work in the case of Kal V'Chomer. Because we saw already on the first stage two of this, where following hekish hekish that doesn't work, hekish kal v'chomer does work. If you have and there kal v'chomer was in a second position after the hekish, which we saw was problematic. Here, where the kal v'chomer is in the second position after a gzera shava, and we saw gzera shava does work, then certainly where the kal v'chomer is in the second position after gzera shava, which we saw was effective, certainly will work. So, as things go, the issue of gzera shava kal v'chomer, we can say that does work. Continuing, this is now the fourth example of, or the fourth situation where the opening stage was a gzera shava. Teku, that remains unresolved. Dover halome b'kal v'chomer, mahu shi'lame b'hekish. Kal v'chomer. We will be continuing using our notation to make things a little easier, also in the inside margin. The Gemara answers this with a kal v'chomer. Uma gezera shava she'eno lameida min ha-hekish, midu Rabbi Yochanan. That's a case of what we in our short notation refer to as hekish gezera shava. So hekish gezera shava does not work, and that was established from Rabbi Yochanan, and that we have also, if you glance at the upper corner of the page, you can see where Hekish Gezera Shava is referred to when we say it does not work, and that had to do with the issue of Tzafon by Osham. And yet, Melame Behekish, Midrav Papa, that's a case of Gezera Shava Hekish. And Gezera Shava Hekish does work based on Rav Papa. And that, once again, you can glance at the upper corner of your page to see where Gezera Shava Hekish was noted. And according to Rav Papa, if you follow the law made, that was the case of the Shlomim being purchased from Meiser Sheni funds. So let's review these last two lines by reading it in the Gemara. Ma gezera shava she'eno lameida min ha-hekish, midu Rabbi Yochanan. The case of hekish gezera shava does not work, and yet melameid behekish midu Rav Papa. That's a case of gezera shava hekish operates. Kal v'chomer halomeid mehekish midetona debei Rabbi Shmuel. That's the case of hekish kal v'chomer that works. So Eino Din Shilame Behekish. That's the case of that's our question, the issue of Kal V'Chomer Hekish. That certainly should work. To illustrate this, let's take advantage of our little notation on the inside margin. We've noted a Roman numeral number 3 in a triangle with a little aleph double underlined. indicating that the note corresponds to this last case, we have entitled this Kal v'chomer Hekesh Mahu. So the first stage is stated, Hekesh Gezeirah Shavah does not work, and yet Gezeirah Shavah Hekesh does work. So where Gezeirah Shavah followed Hekesh, it's not effective, but where you put Gezeirah Shavah in the first position, we see it does work. And Hekesh, we've double underlined, a moment we'll see the value of that. So if that is the case, and in the stage three, where Hekesh Kal v'chomer does work, whereas before in stage one, we saw that Gezeirah Shavah following Hekesh doesn't work. Here, Kal v'chomer following Hekesh does work, then certainly if you put a Kal v'chomer in the first position, we call this the winning combination, where you put the Kal v'chomer in the first position, and a Hekesh following it, that certainly will work. So through this logic, we establish that Kal v'chomer Hekesh does work. What we've tried to do with our little note and the markings, we've circled the items that initially appeared in initially we mean stage 1 and 3, because these are both two sides of the Kal v'chomer. In stage 1 and 3, we saw the second position item was circled. Then when you put that second position item in the next stage, you put that in a first position, then you see what happens. So that in this case, we see how the Kal v'chomer was made. Turning to the Gemara, this whole approach was based on that on the use of Rav Popa at stage two of this reasoning. Ha'nicha l'man de'is lei de Rav Popa, that said that you go boser lomeid el lamanda less lay the Rav Papa, if you don't hold from Rav Papa, namely in the issue of Gzera Shava Hekish, you have to take into consideration the malamed, and in that case it was Meiser Sheni, which was Hulin, then my ikol lamemar. What about our question over here? Teku, so it will remain unresolved. Another question, Dover Halomeid b'Kal v'chomer, where the first stage is a Kal v'chomer. This is the second example under the Roman numeral number 3, where the first stage was a Kal v'chomer. So, Dover Halomeid b'Kal v'chomer, Mahu Shilameid b'Gzeirah Shavah. The Gemara answers, Kal v'chomer. Let's try to answer this with a Kal v'chomer. And once again, if you want to keep one finger on the Gemara and one finger on your chart, you will see how this operates. The Gemara answers, Uma Gezeira Shava She'eno Lameida Behekesha Mid Rabbi Yochanan. This expression of Behekesha means like Min HaHekesh. So we've labeled this on our little chart, Hekesh Gezeira Shava. Something that started off with a Hekesh and then would flip into the Gezeira Shava mode, we say does not work. And that's from Rabbi Yochanan. And once again, if you use the note in the inside on the upper corner of the page, you'll see Hekesh Gezeira Shava as not working from Rabbi Yochanan, which was the issue of the Tzofen by Osham. So Hekesh Gezeirah Shavah does not work, and yet Melameid b'Gezeirah Shavah midrami bar chama. That's the case of Gezeirah Shavah. That does work. Kal v'chomer Halomeid b'Hekesh. That's the case of Hekesh Kal v'chomer. That does work. Midatona de Beiru Shmuel. Einodin Shitalame Begzera Shava, then certainly if you have a Kal v'chomer Gezera Shava, that should work. We've illustrated this, as we mentioned before, on our little chart that you see in the margin, Roman numeral number 3, Beis, and we've entitled that Kal v'chomer Gezera Shava Mahu. Let's see what we just said in a chart form. The opening was, Hekesh Gezeirah Shavah does not work. The Gezeirah Shavah was in a second position after Hekesh, and we saw that doesn't work. However, when you put Gezeirah Shavah in the first position with Gezeirah Shavah following it, that does work. So you see that in such a setup, things work. Now, let's say of a Kal v'chomer following Hekesh. This does work. Compare this momentarily to stage 1, where you had a Gezeirah Shavah following a Hekesh. Gezeirah Shavah following Hekesh does not work. Here, if a Kal v'chomer following Hekesh and it does work, then certainly, if you have a Kal v'chomer Gezeirah Shavah, that certainly will work. Because in this case, we have what we call the, as we said before, the winning combination. You have Kal Vachomer, which we saw was effective in stage 3, and you have a Gezeirah Shavah in a secondary position, which we saw in stage 2 as being effective, and certainly here in stage 4, this will be effective. Continuing with the next question. Dovar halomeid b'kal v'chomer. Mahu shiyalameid b'kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer. So the Gemara answers, we'll answer that with a kal v'chomer. Before we go further, we have a new notation, a new symbol, this crown form. If we glance at the outside margin, we have a mivneh heading. The crown is featured. Nisyonos la'anos la'sheila dover lomeid b'kal v'chomer ma'ashi lamed b'kal v'chomer. If we refer to this in our brief notations, it's kal v'chomer mahu. Let's continue in the Gemara, bearing in mind that for this too we have a little chart that accompanies. The Gemara answers kal v'chomer uma gezera shava she'eno lameida behekish midor Rabbi Yochanan. That was the case of Hekish Gezeirah Shavah, that does not work. And yet, Melameid B'Kal V'Chomer Kidamoran, that's the case of Gezeirah Shavah Kal V'Chomer, that does work. It should be pointed out that this point of Gezeirah Shavah Kal V'Chomer, that is something that was established earlier through a Kal V'Chomer. In other words, the effectiveness of Gezeirah Shavah Kal V'Chomer was itself derived information that was derived through a Kal V'Chomer. Continuing, Kal V'Chomer halomeid mehekesh, that's the case of Hekesh Kal V'Chomer, that does work, midatana debei Rabbi Shmuel, eino din shi'alameid b'Kal V'Chomer. Then certainly, if you have a Kal V'Chomer set up, that certainly will work. Vezehu Kal V'Chomer ben Kal V'Chomer. That's what we've just illustrated is an issue concerning Kal V'Chomer that was determined by using a Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara asks, this is going a little too far. He says, this is not a Kal V'Chomer ben Kal V'Chomer. This is ben beno shel Kal V'Chomer hu. In other words, in addition to using a Kal V'Chomer to answer the question at hand, we had to draw on information that was contained in this scheme, in Frasier, information itself that was determined through Kal V'Chomer. So Rashi points out, this may be going too far, that you're using too many generations, so to speak, or too much use of Kal V'Chomer to draw a conclusion. If we glance at the Rashi that's appropriate for this, you'll see we have a little section in Rashi that we feature with a little star, and we've dashed underlined the expression. It's about a few lines, a couple lines up from this point across in the Rashi. You see some dashed underlined lines in the Rashi. Nimsa shato mevi midas kal v'chomer b'Torah. What we've done here is we've established some the power of Kal V'Chomer mikoach shnei kalin v'chamurin by using two Kal V'Chomers. V'havilei b'no shel Kal V'Chomer u'ben b'no shel Kal V'Chomer. In other words, the topic at hand is Kal V'Chomer, is a Kal V'Chomer topic. The method of achieving our goal was by employing a Kal V'Chomer. But as part of the information, we had to use the case of Gezeirah Shavah Kal V'Chomer itself was information that was derived from an independent Kal V'Chomer. V'dilma kulei hai leslon lemeilaf u'meizal. Rashi says that this might be going a little too far in drawing conclusions. Therefore, we go to a second approach, and that we've labeled with the little crown marking number 2. Ella Kal V'Chomer. Uma hekish she'eno lomei behekish imidarava imidaravina, which we refer to as the hekish situation that's ineffective, and yet if you have a hekish Kal V'Chomer that does work, melameid b'Kal V'Chomer netana Rebbe Shmuel Kal V'Chomer halomeid mehekish midetana Rebbe Shmuel, that's the case, once again, of Hekish Kal V'chomer, that works, then Eino Din She'alameid B'Kal V'chomer, then certainly Kal V'chomer should work. V'zehu Kal V'chomer Ben Kal V'chomer. And that's an example of information concerning a Kal V'chomer that is determined through a Kal V'chomer. Let's go over this point again using our chart. This we've labeled Roman numeral number 3, Gimel. And we've entitled it Kal V'chomer, Kal V'chomer Mahu. And we've also indicated with a little number 2 that this is the second approach to answer this question. So you can see on the chart that we have stage 1 was Hekish, we say doesn't work. Namely, a Hekish following a Hekish doesn't work. However, when you take the Hekish and put it in the first position, Hekish Kal V'chomer, with Kal V'chomer following it, that does work. If you have a Hekish Kal V'chomer that does work, as we just said, where Kal V'chomer is in the second position, and it's effective, well, if you put the Kal V'chomer in the first position, and following it a Kal V'chomer, which we saw before in stage 2, where Kal V'chomer was following the opener, it certainly will be effective. We continue in the Gemara. Dover halomeid b'kal v'chomer, mahu shilameid b'binyan av. This is the fourth example of something which opens up with kal v'chomer. Something learned through kal v'chomer, can it turn around and teach me to an additional point through a binyan av? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Toshma. There will be an attempt to prove from Rabbi Meir. We're going to see a source that contains a number of different opinions in it. But if we attempt to focus on Rabbi Meir, we'll try to show that it does work. This is a long marking, a Toshma, a long proof, that continues to the upper part of Nun Aleph Omet Aleph. The issue that we will be dealing with concerns the removal of Tumah through a proper Shechita or Malika. Shechita is the process of slaughtering animals. Malika is the method of slaughter of bird offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. Let us turn to the source itself. Toshma, Molach v'nimseis trefa. If you, Molach is the, as we mentioned, it's the method of slaughtering a bird offering, and it turned out that the bird offering was a trefa. Rabbi Meir Omer, eino mitama bebei sablia. The, if one were to eat this meat, even though it's forbidden to eat it, because it is in fact the trefa, but if one were to eat it, he would not experience Tumas Nevelo, that's characteristic of a dead kosher variety bird. This is a tumah that one absorbs while he is swallowing the bird meat. That's called Tumas Beis Habliya. So the tumah that's characteristic of an Oif Tohor, if it received a, we'll call it the proper slaughtering process, even though it turned out to be a trefa, the slaughtering process is enough to alleviate the tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitama bebeis habliya. Rabbi Yehuda says that since it turns out to be a trefa, the malika is not effective in alleviating the tumah. Omer Rabbi Meir, and as we mentioned in our introduction to this section, we really should be focusing on Rabbi Meir as far as a response to our question of Dovar Lomi B'Kal V'Chomer Ma'o Shilami B'Binyanav. So what does Rabbi Meir say? There are two stages to be aware of. The first stage is going to be Kal V'Chomer, and then the second stage, which appears at the second line from the bottom, at the end of the line, we've indicated that with a Roman numeral number 2, that's the Binyanav stage. So the first stage, Rabbi Meir says, Kal V'Chomer Uma Nevelas Behemo Shemitamo b'mago v'maso, a dead, unslaughtered or improperly slaughtered animal. We know that's called a nevela, and it communicates tuma through touching and through carrying, through supporting it. Shchitasa mitaheres trefasa mitumasa. If one were to do a proper slaughtering action on an animal, and it turned out to be a trefa, everyone will agree that even though it's forbidden to eat because it's a trefa, nevertheless, the tumah that it would have communicated is no longer present. There is no tumah on a trefa that was properly slaughtered. So our starting point is a behemoth that communicates in potential very serious tumah. It's nevelas behemoth mitamez, we said, b'magov masa. Yet a proper shchita removes the tumah. It cancels or preempts the tumah from ever being chal, even if the animal turns out to be a trefa. Nevelas oif she'ein mitama b'magov masa. A dead kosher variety bird doesn't have this kind of tumah that's absorbed through contact or support. The only time nevelas oif communicates tumah is while eating it. So this is a lighter realm, so to speak. Eino din shitei shchitasa mitaires trefasa mitumasa. And it stands to reason through a kavachomer that if a bird is slaughtered with a knife, we'll call it a proper knife slaughtering, that's called shchita, as opposed to the word malika, which we'll deal with later. A nevelas oaf, and in other words, not a nevela, but an oaf that's slaughtered, and it turns out to be a trefa, then certainly the tumah should be preempted and thereby alleviated. Now, stage two. Ma motzinu b'shchita shemachsharta b'achila mitaheres trefasa mitumasa. Shchita is a method of making, of enabling a bird, if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shchita is a slaughtering with a knife. That's the way to machshir it b'achila, to make it available to be eaten. So just like we see that shchita, which is a method of enabling a bird, a kosher variety bird, to be eaten, so, and shchita is metaheres trefasa mitumasa, has this characteristic that it alleviates the tumah. Af malika, it stands to reason logically that malika shemachsharta b'achila, which is the method of enabling a bird to be eaten in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, tetaher trefasa mitumasa. The malika process, when done on a Beis HaMikdash bird, even if the bird is found to be a trefa, should have its tumah alleviated. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Meir and says, Daya kinevelas behemo tahora. The bird cannot be extended to be any further than the way we treat a behema. Being that the source of all of our information is a behema, we can't extend the issue of bird any further or any way anywhere beyond that which we would say by the behema. And what do we say by the behema? Sheshchitasa mitarasa v'lo malikasa. By a behema, the only thing that would alleviate the tumah, the only process would be a slaughtering process, not a malika process. Malika would be a situation of severing its organs, its neck organs, by penetrating the animal from the back of its head through its spine, and then breaking the and then severing the trachea and esophagus. That certainly, in the case of a behema, would certainly not alleviate its tumah. That would be basically killing it. So we can't extend the information concerning a bird any further than that which we know about a behema, says Rabbi Yossi. And since by a behema we know only that the shchita process is metayer it, so too by a bird we can say only the shchita process would metayer it and not the malika. After all said and done, if you focus on Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir do here? Rabbi Meir comes to a conclusion regarding malikas oif shenimtseis trefa as not having tumah from that which we know concerning a behema and its shchita. How did he do this? He made a kalvachomer from behema to oif with regard to the realm of shchita, and then did a binyanav from the realm of bird shchita to the realm of bird malika. At this point, the Gemara rejects it and says, v'loi hi. Hosam teheve hi. Mishchita dechulin ko asyon. In order to appreciate what the Gemara just said, it's imperative to learn the Rashi. Rashi is at the top of the page. Hachi garsinon velohi hasam tehevehi mishchita dechulin kasya v'hachi pirusha. Point one: hasam ikur taima de Rabbi Meir lo yolif pebinyan av. Rabbi Meir's point that that malika on an oif shenimtzei treifa is not going to communicate tumah is not learned through a binyanav elo mehekish. He has a hekish that says the pasuk says dezois toras habehema v'oif, where the Torah itself compares behema to oif. Kila kamon perachatos oif. Diamrinan Rabbi Meir kro ashkech v'dorash. Rabbi Meir found a pasuk and based his ruling on that. V'inami teve hi degomar lo b'binyanav kidektoni b'masnisan. And even if you want to say that Rabbi Meir does come to his conclusion through a binyanav, nevertheless, lo mifshita bayon, our question of dovar halomed bekavachomer ma'ashilami binyanav remains unresolved. To Rabbi Meir malika bekotchim mishchita dechulin gomar. Rabbi Meir is learning a halacha in the realm of kotchim from a starting point that was in the realm of chulin. Havile malamed dechulin, then the setup then would be that the original source was a chulin source. Uleman de lesle de Rav Papa, and if you do not hold like Rav Papa, then af al gav de lomed kodesh, even if the lomed, if the second stage happens to be in the realm of kachim, lav raya hi, you won't have a sufficient raya to what we are trying to prove. So that since in this case the malamed, we were starting here with the case of shchitas behema, and that shchitas behema is not a kochim topic per se. It's referring to even shchita of chulin. Therefore, this proof that Rabbi Meir trying to cite Rabbi Meir and his method of proving his halacha won't be sufficient for answering our question, which was a kochim related issue. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.